This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, Tee Shao Eek. It's our Ask a Psychologist segment today, where consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan joins us to address your concerns regarding mental, emotional, and psychosocial issues. Today, we are putting a bit of a limelight on bullying. And there has been so much in the news about bullying, whether it's in schools or in workplaces. We've heard about it in the context of the healthcare sector as well, with the recent task force report that came out that was appointed by the Ministry of Health. And so, you know, bullying, I think we've come to accept that it seems to happen to everyone, regardless of your age, where you are, what environment you study or work in. But really, what we want to do is try to understand the psychology of it, both from the perspective of those who have been at the receiving end of bullying behavior, as well as those carrying out the bullying behaviors, as well as how to cope with the mental health impact. Who better to help us understand all this than Paul J? Hey. So do call us.
Thank you.
And do call us with your questions for Paul. The number to call is 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. I'm tired. I did a lot of traveling. You know, it took me about 6-7 hours and hundreds of kilometers to get here, all because I love you guys so much.
And to discuss this important issue, we were talking about it, weren't we, Paul? And how, you know, you do, in fact, have young people coming to your clinic to seek support. And they come from other... you know, through other means first. The entry point is not necessarily because they were bullied or that they had been bullying somebody. The entry point is something else.
Yeah, got two entry points. The entry point of the perpetrator, let's call the perpetrator the bully. The entry point for a person who is the bully is the fact that that person has been referred to me. Either a child who's being bullied, who is the bully, and saying this child is a bully, is an angry child, always hitting, calling, doing things, and this and that, da 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 da. Or a company or an agency sends someone, says, and the court, they'll send someone saying this person needs intervention. And for want of a non-professional term, the lay term would be this is a bully, either road rage bully or domestic bullying or things like that.
Mm, all right.
Then the other entry point is from the victim's point of view, where a young child, let's take the example of a standard 2 child, an 8, 9, 10-year-old child is referred to me for some kind of apparent dysfunction. The parents notice some kind of dysfunction or some kind of change in behavior. It could be sudden anger. It could be an expressive issue. It could be a passive issue. Mm-hmm. But there's something happening to my child. Huh? Mm. Don't know what it is. And then upon analysis and discovery and observation and all with all the techniques of analysis, find that this person is a victim of bullying. Where, how, and what, we don't know. It could even be domestically at home, but the child is a victim. So they come in different forms. Mm. Now, I also have people who presented with psychophysiological problems, such as psychogenic vomiting. A child is consciously nauseous, threatening to vomit all the time, and wonder where that's coming from. A child is purging or constipated. A child who develops, a person who is constantly reporting of chronic pain that appears from here, there, nowhere, suddenly, or when in certain situations, suddenly says, I want to discontinue because I'm in pain, I need to lie down. And that is, it's called psychosomatic issues, and they present in different ways. So, you know, I think we've mentioned this before, Freud, you know, our good old friend Sigfried, Sigmund Freud once said, eyes that do not give vent to tears, poetically meaning if you don't cry and express yourself, will make other organs weep. And so, I mean, if you don't know how to deal with bullying, if you don't know how to deal with these challenges that affect a different aspect of your persona, you're going to weep otherwise. And of course, if you don't know how to weep with all your non-existent resilience, non-resilient factors and soft skills, and there's a new word since the conference I attended over the weekend, that new scientific word, it's called non-cognitives. Mm. Not just cognitive skills like maths and all that. Non-cognitive means soft skills and things. But if you don't have these skills to deal with the challenge, your body and your mind is going to weep.
So the physical issues that we tend to associate with some sort of sickness, like, you know, if it's nausea, if it's vomiting, you're looking for the physical cause.
You're always saying you spend a lot of money, man.
So let's come to that a little bit later on, because I did have a question on how parents can recognize, and it's, you know, children may not either want to express or know how to express when they are going through these challenges. So how parents can recognize. We'll come to that later. Coming back, though, I wanted to do a little bit of a stock take, I guess, get a dipstick check of the situation. How common really is bullying in terms of what you see as a mental health professional? How common is it to have, you know, these young people coming to you through different entry points? And
not
later,
always young. Yeah, we have marriage and divorce and old age problems also related to bullying.
I see. All right. So talk me through a little bit of that.
We have people who are quarreling over death issues and burial issues and wills and all of that because of a tradition of bullying within the system. And so, but this lasts such a long time, it persists and it just manifests at different times in different ways. So it's not just the young child. Mm. It's rather systemic.
So why does bullying happen? Do we look at why do bullies do it or why do people get bullied?
Okay. This, I believe, now you're talking to a clinical psychologist. I hardly see, except for shows like this and for some training programs and talks, then I talk to a larger population who generally are not psychopathological. Otherwise, in my clinic, they come because they feel they have a problem. Sometimes they're told you don't have a problem. Somebody else has a problem. But the important thing is they feel they've got a problem and they manifest and present with a problem. So the frequency, I dare say 50-50. But for me, it's 100% because that's whom I see.
Yes, of course.
And you'll be surprised at how big the tip of the iceberg is. Because if you're looking at schools, then schools are already restricted within various expectations and policies and KPIs to look good, feel good, and everyone needs a feel-good report. The report card of the school must be good. So there's a tendency to minimize and privatize, take it out of the school, send them out of the school. Don't sit for this exam, move out, get other things to do. Companies as well. So there's a reason to minimize this problem because it's a definite reflection of interpersonal, managerial, or some systemic structural issue. So yeah, I think it's minimized. It's larger than it seems.
All right.
But you know what? Why does it appear? I think it's natural evolution.
It's just human nature.
Not human nature. I think it is. I think it's almost Darwinian, because the weak will not take over. The strong will have to control. And before the mind and the cognitive factors and the foremind and the brains and all this kind, you know, before all the cognitive aspects developed, I mean, what did you have? You had teeth. You had musculature. You had brute force. You had rape, which wasn't a crime then. You had dominion. You dominate and you control. Make people subservient. For me, bullying is a different kind of rape. So, I mean, and this is a total tangent we're going on here. But if you ask me to classify, we're trying to decriminalize suicide. I think we should criminalize bullying. That's the way we should be doing things, because it destroys people. It destroys both the victim and the perpetrator. But I believe it stems evolutionarily from a very long time ago for survival purposes, where nothing but survival mattered.
And you exert your power over somebody you kill. See weaker.
You kill. Mm.
So when you say it destroys both victim and perpetrator, let's unpack that.
Nice.
Impact on victim.
Sure. Okay.
We know this. You think we know this? We know this. Do we recognize it enough, the impact on victims?
No, we don't know it enough because I believe it's underreported. The victim on the impact could be anywhere between survival and repair, hurt for sure, right up to death. The victim would want to die. The victim would feel like dying because the victim finally says, I'm helpless and this bullying will never change. So they want to die. Then coming down that continuum, this is a very common thing people recognize. You have runaway behavior. People run away from companies. They shift jobs. They move away. We have children who run away from situations. We have perpetrators who run away too because they're going to get caught. But the funniest thing is we have people in control who bully, the bully, instead of dealing with the bully as a criminal or a social injustice, they move the transfer policy. They move the bully to another system where he's given a second chance, but there's no rehab in between. There's no punishment, and unfortunately, cycles repeat itself. So the result of being a victim is anywhere between new resilient behavior, a rehab, right up to death.
What is the impact on perpetrators? You know, we think, okay, you have done something really grievously wrong to your victims whom you're bullying.
Okay.
And we, like you said, right, the solution is often just remove them, put them somewhere else where perhaps they won't cause so much trouble.
Right.
What do we understand of the psychology of the bully?
Okay, there's a lot there. But first question that needs to be asked is, do they recognize that they are bullying? If they don't, sorry, now we've got to treat you differently. Now we've got to educate you that you are a bully. We've got to charge you. At the moment, we only have the social court, the environment, the organization. We don't have the criminal courts yet. But if bullying crosses just a certain line in the penal code, then of course it goes there.
Mm.
We don't have a system to back up verbal bullying, emotional and verbal blackmail. We don't have that kind of bullying into the penal code yet. It'll come. I want it to come. Please, someone start it. Someone start it.
You're right, la. It's only if there is the behaviours or the results, the consequences.
Fits the penal code.
Yeah. And I think we heard of a case, I think it was last week it was reported that 9 students of a boarding school were facing 7 years of in prison for bullying their schoolmate.
Yep.
And it's only because their actions come under, having caused harm.
So you see, so bullying is not under a penal code. So it's socially acceptable. You know, it's the norm till it becomes such a cancer, such an abnormal. Only when it becomes a tumor of such a size, will we say, okay, now we need to intervene. We need to do something about bullying. Just like women's affairs have taken women's rights and things like that to the parliament. Now things are being recognized. Gender issues are being recognized. But bullying, people have been dying from bullying for ages. And this private college bullying stories. Do you know, I mean, I remember them when I was a student.
Mm. Private, public,
everywhere.
All education institutions.
I am a victim of bullying in primary school, and I remember it till today. And just day before yesterday, I was at a conference, and I was sharing it with educators that when I was in Standard 3, I was bullied by a teacher. I was called names, I was degraded, I was pushed in a corner, I was hit and everything. My name, Paul Jambu Nathan, became Jamban, which is toilet. And I lived with that throughout my private school.
Mm.
And I was minimized into nothing. I used to abscond his classes.
Mm.
And
so
I'm
that's the
64 years old now.
Correct.
And the law hasn't changed.
Yeah. So the acute effects, the long-term effects of somebody who was bullied.
Yeah. And there's one more long-term effect, Shawik, is sometimes psychoanalytically, the victim who is a chronic survivor or chronic victim lives as that victim, and it becomes their lifestyle. They get comfortable being a bully. And likewise, so does the bully themselves. So they end up in relationships where they are being bullied because they don't know how else to survive. That's the psychoanalytic aspect of things. Mm. It's a very sad situation.
I also want to come back from the break to talk a little bit about some unhealthy coping mechanisms that people may develop. And, you know, I want to then after that look at how to deal with bullying. You talked about, you know, we don't know how to deal with bullying. What is it from the perspective of a mental health professional? How can you help? As well as developing our resilience to deal with challenges like this. Paul Jambunathan, consulting clinical psychologist, in the studio with me. It's our Ask a Psychologist segment. We're discussing bullying. Do call us with your questions or thoughts. 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. With me in the studio today, consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. It's our Ask a Psychologist show, and we're discussing bullying, something that's been in the news and also an experience that's not unfamiliar to many of us, if not all of us. So do call us if you have any questions, your concerns, your thoughts, your own experiences that you might like to share. The number to call is 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us. And if you'd like to stay anonymous, that might be the way to go. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. Or you can tweet us on BFM Radio. Paul, before the break, we were already talking about the acute impacts of being bullied or being a bully. We talked about long-term as well, and you shared your own experience very candidly about how being treated badly by a teacher consistently back in primary school
Is something that's, I was 9 years old.
Is something that stayed with you. And I've heard as well experiences from others where they say that not only the trauma stays with you, but whatever coping mechanisms that you've developed either during that time or later on to deal with the insecurity or the fear or the shame or whatever, those coping mechanisms stay with a person.
Yes.
And they may or may not be healthy.
Right.
What have you observed?
Let me just agree, totally endorse what you've just said. They may work, they may not be the appropriate strategy or not, but you have used it. And for some reason or other, they've been sustained. They've been reinforced. And so you keep using that same strategy and you still you keep yourself in that position of either being the victim or the perpetrator.
Mm.
But you used the word trauma just now. My goodness, you know, like I suggested earlier, being bullied, being physically raped is one thing. That's a totally different issue. But the trauma of being verbally and emotionally bullied, and you are emotionally and developmentally raped in a different sense. And if you lose that self-concept, that self-esteem, that self-definition, that security of who you are, your identity, you've lost everything as well, unless that's repaired. There are two approaches to this. One is either you repair bullying effect, or if it's repeated bullying, or you prevent it. So we'll come to prevention at another time. But how to prevent yourself from being a bully? There are two ways of doing it, either personally or systemically. This is the organization. But I'm going so fast. Mm. What was your pertinent question?
Repair or prevent?
Oh, no, prevention, of course, is best. But In parents, and it starts at home. It must start at home. It starts with children. It starts with the honesty and the openness, children are so honest, they'll call you something to your face, like in kindergarten or even in play school. But it starts there. The whole thing starts there. One child feels intimidated and it begins to affect their personality and their development. That has to be repaired. Mm. But for that to be repaired, you need a multisensorial teacher, a robot, someone who's highly sensitive. Robots can be a lot more effective than just simple teachers and parents, because parents, are sometimes their minds are so all over the place. The robot is like the CCTV that sees everything, hears everything, reports everything. And then you can go back and look at it, but it's already too late. But we need trained eyes. Forget the word trained. We need sensitive, sensitized eyes, ears, noses, smells, touch, to notice that an interaction is happening here. Is this a healthy relationship or not? Someone needs to learn some skills. Too many skills. Someone has a deficit and needs to learn a bit more skills. Start there. Mm. The equality of interpersonal interaction, transactions.
So you talked earlier about how parents are picking up some this quote-unquote dysfunction or change of behavior in their children. Yeah. And that is a signal, right?
Or even husband and wives. Mm. Yeah, adults even.
Mm. So we have a question on WhatsApp that we'll get to before we continue with the discussion. How can I help a young adult who is married, is currently being bullied with harsh words in the workplace and being bullied by somebody who is senior to her? Yeah. So verbal bullying in the workplace by somebody who is senior, how can we help this young person?
Now, straight away, I'm going to suggest that, I'm going to ask the question is, does this company have a policy of harassment? And if so, use that policy of harassment. Whether you, and for every policy that you use, for every report you make using this policy of harassment that you already have established in the company, there will be consequences. So be prepared to face those consequences. The sad thing is, people don't want to make police reports, for any crime outside or anything that they see or harassment at the workplace or bullying behavior, because they're going to be involved and have to take it a step further. Well, hang on till you cannot take it any further. Then you'll have other choices. But if this is happening at the workplace, you need a policy of harassment. If your company does not have a policy of harassment, I'm being a vigilante here when I say that you got to report this company. This company does not serve your best interests as an individual working in a company where there's no policy of harassment and protection. Then you have to look at other resources. This is, although they say this person is married and but working, so this bullying is not happening between husband and wife or partnership. It's happening at the workplace.
Yes.
They have to find SOP, standard operating procedure, to lodge this complaint. They call it nipping in the bud. Don't let it fester. Because if you let a pimple fester on your face or arm or any part of the body, it's going to become larger. You can tolerate the pain. It's going to become even larger and larger. Till finally, instead of dealing with it in the earlier days, now you have to go in for surgery.
And in fact, that's something I want to highlight. That the culture or the environment in a particular organization may encourage it, because everyone says, yeah, this person is like that. That is how he treats others. Maybe you should just get used to it, right? And just using that as an example.
You're true. You're right. You're very right. Yeah. And just because everyone says that, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make... Just because everybody else has overcome who are learning to live with the pain, it does not mean that the leader or the organizational head is doing is right. No, no, no. If it's hurting you, it is wrong. If you've done wrong and you're facing consequences, that's fine. But if it's hurting you for unwarranted reason, and if it's causing, you know, if someone called me, hey, Paul, your name sounds like a toilet in Tamil. It sounds funny. I said, you're right, Lade. And I leave it at that. But then if it happens again and again, and then I take it home, and it's internalized, and it makes me frustrated. Then I kind of, there's dysfunction between me and my wife and my children. And I forget to do things. I oversleep. I have residual anger. I'm becoming more dysfunctional. And if it's traceable back to the fact that it's because of this little tweak that happened and I didn't deal with it, then you must start dealing with it early. Mm.
So finding channels to take action, to report and to take action, looking at whether...
Organizationally first.
Yeah, organizationally.
If it's really causing dysfunction and there's no recourse within the organization, then I give you a choice. Quit. Change job. Oh, you're Paul, cannot lie, no choice. I said, there's no such thing as no choice, Shawik. You always have a choice. If you choose to stay, that means you're choosing to endure the pain. If you're choosing to move, you're doing something about the pain. If you want to choose to make a police report or a report to the human resources department, yeah, go for it. But you have a choice to protect yourself.
Mm. I'm wondering whether there's a way to help support people and guide them in terms of what should they do at that very moment when that derogatory comment has been said to you for the 100th time, right? Somebody is, metaphorically stepping on you for the 100th time.
Said to you for the first time or the 100th time?
No, because bullying is a consistent behavior, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So first time, like you said, you laugh it off.
Okay.
And then later and later, it has this impact on
yes.
you. How does somebody respond in that situation? Do you confront? Do you try to laugh it off? Do you talk to that person about the trauma that it's having on you?
Okay, it's just, let's now go back to the children level. As a child, I'll use my example easier. When this teacher insulted me, I went to him and mentioned it. And my dad said, actually, the funny side is this is what the name does sound like if you pronounce it wrongly, da-di-da-di-da. But then your name also has a very nice turn to it. You can be called Jambu, which means the fruit and this and that and all that. So, I kind of reached a kind of a balance till it got worse in the classroom. So I was able to rationalize it for a little while. Then, of course, my power at home, my father, who was my defender, decided, this is going a bit too far. Let's make a report. So they dealt with it at the school level. So I had a defender to take it to the school and sort it out. And of course, we didn't have easy transfers then. But I had still lived with the teacher for till I was standard six.
Oh, dear.
And I became head prefect. So, I was okay. However, it could have affected me very badly if I didn't have a defender at home and if I didn't have open communication lines to report this to my primary environment, to the significant others who care for me. It could be a foster family, it could be a dormitory. But if I didn't have wiser people to report it to. On the other hand, if I kept quiet about it and I didn't do anything about it, it'll fester, and I could become a chronic murderer. I could become a thug. I could act out. The only way to beat this thug is to be a bigger thug. If he's bullying me, I will learn to bully. That is one way of swinging. The other way you can swing at it is to say, I run away from school. I'm not going to go to school. I'll hide. And then, of course, you're blamed for truancy. And the whole problem is distracted. So we must have systems in place where somebody's going to listen to you as a child. We're going to have different methods of expressing yourself where you can read into an essay, you can read into an art piece, you can read into... There are not enough teachers who sit and watch children playing in the canteen during break time. And there's a lot of psychodynamics that happen there.
That's true.
There's no psychodynamics in the classroom. I mean, there is, but it's all so much under control.
That's right.
So we need those sensitive senses.
Yeah. We have an interesting question here. It's sort of in two parts. So I'll do the second part first and then the first part for a reason. Are people who constantly and consistently pass on their responsibilities or workload to others considered bullies? I ask because when I point out when people are behaving like this, I'm accused of being fussy, uncooperative, and not a team player. So basically, when others in your team or in your organization are skiving off on work and passing it on to you instead, is that considered being a bully?
I like this. I got so many angles to this. One of the angles is, are you setting yourself up as a victim for starters? Are you being assertive enough in saying no? Or are you attributing the power to this person to say, okay, I'll take this on? Are you perceiving a threat? Because are you thinking that if I say no, then I'm going to be in trouble? Now we're moving into the bully area. Now we're moving into the harassment area. But the way you read it out to me, I would say, boy, this is borderline bullying, man. Somebody is dominating over someone else to their advantage at the expense of somebody else. That's already bullying, part of the bullying definition. Yeah. So yes, I'd call it bullying.
The first part of the question.
You gave me the second part.
Yes.
First
part of the question is a group of different people. Are people who constantly and consistently double park and put down car owners who are inconvenienced for not being tolerant when we call them to move their cars or when we have to wait for them? Are those people bullies? The ones
give me a real example. So I'm at the Chap Fun shop. Okay, so I've parked my car nicely and I've gone to the shop. Then somebody double parks and blocks me.
Correct.
Then what happens?
Then I either have to call that person or I'm waiting there. Maybe.
And I horn. Yes. I'm getting angry and hungry.
And then the person who has double parked comes along and says...
Angry at you.
Yes, and says, why can't you just wait for a while? Don't worry, you know. Are they being bullies?
Who? The guy who's waiting?
The one who double parked.
The one who double parked. Of course he's a bully. Of course.
Even though he's not actually doing anything to harm you?
No, he has contained you. He's trapped you. He's curtailed your rights. He's taken away your freedom. If you look at it from all those points of view, he's made you wait. His double parking is more important than your hunger or whoever you bought food for. Your grandmother is waiting at home for your food. And then just because you got angry, he cannot deal with your anger because he knows he's in the wrong. And normally bullies have this kind of a deficit, psychological deficit about them.
Mm.
And so he kind of responds, yes, he's a bully.
All right.
But if you don't call him that, because then it's going to escalate. So you de-escalate and say, oh, thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your dinner.
And then the next time it happens
again.
So we'll come back and continue this conversation. Keep those really interesting questions coming in. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also call us 03-7733-2900 if you have something you'd like to share with consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan about our topic today, which is bullying. Stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik, and my guest, consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. It's the show where you can call or message in with your questions for Paul. Today we're discussing bullying, so if you have an experience or a question or concern that you'd like to share within that area, do call us 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Of course, there's Twitter as well. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Paul, you know, we've talked a lot about, it was driven by the question from our listener about how can I help somebody who's being bullied at the workplace? And we talked about organizational. We talked about then, do you want to remove yourself from the situation? Because you do have choices in this situation. And now how about for the individual? And earlier you brought up this interesting point. You don't know how to deal with bullying. Some people may not have, something we call resilience, to know how to cope, to sustain with challenges like these. What does that mean, right? Can we expect somebody to be able to develop their resilience when somebody else is so dominant and so abusive towards them?
Yes, can, if you know the full story and the child tells you things. If the communication lines are open, if the child is not scoring well in mathematics, what do? You send them for tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if the child is being bullied and doesn't have the skills to stand up for themselves, then you send them for karate or taekwondo.
Oh dear. Is that the solution?
No, it's not. You become a bigger bully. And you bully back in a different way. On the other hand, karate and taekwondo is not just to bully. I mean, they teach you a lot of other skills, a lot of self-control and internal issues. and emotion regulation. But
skills.
The issue about resilience is not about bouncing back. I mentioned this at the conference. It's amazing it happened less than 24 hours ago. The issue about resilience is the tools you have that will help you cope with and adapt to the change and the challenges you have.
Okay.
So if I've grown up in a family where my self-esteem is intact, I feel good about myself, and then I go to school and someone says, "Hey, you dark chocolate, you blackie, you're right, macha." You know?
Yeah.
I have the skills.
Mm-hmm.
But if suddenly I feel threatened because they made me feel different, smaller, and made me feel as though I don't belong, they've invalidated me, okay? They devaluated me. I don't know how to react. So my survival instincts or whatever I know will come to mind straight away. I'll hit him because I've seen my father hit my mother. I've seen my older brother hit my younger brother. My whatever I've observed at home, in my primary environment, or whatever I've seen on TV, like Popeye, the Sailor Man, and all these skills that I have in my memory banks, they will come in, and I'll see what works, or I'll run away. One of the two. So if this is not addressed, it comes from a reservoir of memories and experiences you've had in the past. Same for the bully. The bully becomes a bully also because of various psychological inadequacies or other issues, maybe even hormonal, but they become a bully because of the primary environment, and the father is a bully, the mother is a bully, the children are all subservient, the uncles are subservient. You observe this and you become a bully. Now, if you're going to intervene, you've got to find out the source of where they've learned these skills. Then you plug it. I mean, if you want to tighten a screw on this table that you have and you're getting frustrated, I will have to give you a screwdriver, teach you how to use it so that whenever you have a loose screw anywhere in the future, you have the resilience to sort it out. But if you don't know what the problem is and I don't know what the problem is, I can't help you there. So the whole idea is to become sensible about... is to become sensitive to the problem, and it must be very specifically defined, not masking issues, not his grades. Why are his grades low? It could be ADD, it could be a lousy teacher, it could be he's distracted, or he's scared of the teacher, or in that particular class, he's sitting next to a bully.
Yeah. So, you know, the way that, let's take children who are being bullied as an example.
Yeah, easy.
The way to address it comprehensively and constructively is not just to hope that the bully gets expelled or transfer your child out of a school and then consider that a full stop. You have to follow up with those tools, those skills. Is that right?
For both parties.
Mm.
Yeah. You take the bully out, but the victim has learned to be a victim.
Mm.
The victim has not learned any skills to change that situation of being victimized all the time.
Mm.
As I grew older, I now joke about my name in so many different ways. I've learned to stand up to being criticized or being minimized in so many different ways. But I tell you what, at 64, being so highly trained in psychology, I still feel bullied at times. I feel victimized at times. But now I have a choice. How do I respond? When do I respond? Should I save the bullets for another day? Or this person doesn't matter? You know? So you develop that choice. But as children, you're evolving. You need to have that survival, that entity, that presence. And you don't want to disappear in the world of whoever in your environment.
Mm. We have a bit of a question here on WhatsApp. What about educators who are teaching at higher education, whereby the superior has full authority over workload and may, I'm going to summarize this a bit,
okay.
May sort of practice favoritism and, offer or basically the way that the workload is delegated is based on favoritism.
To employees, not students.
I think to employees, correct. Yeah, so, and the word revenge is being used. The superior will take revenge by delegating workloads and things like that. Yeah. So is that, how do you deal with that?
Okay. I might sound like a what do you call an escape valve here, but this is exactly similar to the question earlier. Is there a system of fair play in this company mm-hmm. or in this educational system? If you use words like revenge, that is a huge emotional word. It's so heavy that it tells me there is history. There is history. If you use the word revenge, means there's history to the story. And there's some kind of victimization or some wrongdoing or perceived wrongdoing to this somewhere along the line. And justice has not been served. Everything that happens since then is seen as related to that the consequence. And now it's seen as unfair and prejudicial. So, yes, this needs to be addressed. And people use techniques to bully in so many different ways, Xiaowei. Mm. My goodness, you won't believe.
And this is so subtle, isn't it?
This is subtle. And if you don't do the work, your KPIs are going to drop. Mm-hmm. You won't get your bonus. Mm. Boy, this is like blackmail. Blackmail is bullying. And that's why I feel this should be criminalized.
But this is an organizational issue.
It is. They should have feedback. And people should know how to use these lines of report, as they call it. They should be able to use these lines of report and have faith in these lines of report. And like suddenly now, you know, we all have faith in our justice system because we saw it work. Now, if you report and use the SOPs and your lines of justice in your company and you don't see it work, then you're going to be victimized even more. Then there'll be more victims. Then you've got other choices and considerations to make. But if the system works and the system protects you and your report, it doesn't publish you and say, you made this report, you know, there's so many things that go along this kind of thing, these SOPs, then please use these systems. If not, this is not a good establishment and you should never call it an educational establishment.
You know, I find it interesting, all the questions, yep. or some of them, have revolved around, is this, you know, fill in the blank behavior considered bullying?
Yeah.
And it feels like a lot of people feel like they recognize that they are being treated unfairly or being, you know, treated almost being abused. But they're not sure whether it actually falls under bullying. And they're sort of looking for validation in a sense that, you know, they are being bullied.
Listen, if you feel victimized in any way, if you're hurt by somebody else, if you have no recourse, if you're forced into subjugation, you're being bullied. If your rights are not heard, if your rights are not being sustained or maintained, if you're the one who's always having to give in, if you're being minimized, if you're being invalidated, if you're being all bullying. Bullying is just a normal dictionary word and people take it for granted, but the effects are very deep.
I want to bring it back. Were you trying to look up something?
No, I was trying to look up this. What is this general dictionary definition of bullying, you know? One who habitually, cruel, insulting, threatening to others who are weaker, smaller, and in some way vulnerably tormented by somebody else. Okay. And they also have another word which I like, ruffian. It ruffles your feathers.
I think it's a lot more damaging than just ruffling the feathers.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to bring it back now to recognizing signs. And we've had our listeners talking about their experiences in the workplace. And we've also been talking about children in schools. How can we look out for signs that those interpersonal dynamics, you know, within that bullying is actually occurring, whether among our children or among our colleagues in the workplace?
How to? Please remind me about one word and I'll come back to that after I answer this question. Simulation. Okay. Now, how to recognize signs? Well, for starters, you've got to know this person. You've got to know this person well. So, I'm going to use the example of parents and children. Do you know your child?
Yeah.
Okay. Not just at the dinner table, not just at the playtime, not just when you go for a holiday. Do you know your child well enough do you know your child well enough to notice any difference in their behavior? Any kind of behavior. Their emotional behavior, the psychological behavior, their resilience behavior, their soft skills, are they learning new skills? Do you know your child? Now, if you know your child, you will notice differences that you might consider positive, that you might consider negative. Either which way, you should take action. If it's positive, you might say, "Hui, we have a potential strength that's emerging here. Let's do something about it." If it's negative, there's something happening here that you know, my child is being challenged and needs to learn some skills to deal with the challenge. Mm. It could be bullying. Now, how does it manifest? Bullying, like the dictionary even says, bullying minimizes you. It affects your self-esteem. It affects your mind. It'll cause a lot of things to happen. Children's hair fall. Girls, their menstrual cycles get affected. People lose weight. They start eating more. They don't sleep. They want to avoid school. And there's avoidance of social behavior. There's avoidance of certain personalities. Now, when you notice these changes, you must ask the question, what's going on? Mm. And only when you have that communication line can you establish what's the difference.
Yeah.
Then let the professionals deal with it, unless you can, of course, elicit it.
Now, you wanted to talk about simulation.
Now, how do you prevent this from happening? Well, what do you do to your child for them to get A's? You give them exam questions. You give them past papers. Okay, another question. Do you trust your pilot when he flies the plane?
Yes.
Yes.
I hope so.
Do you know whether he's ready to fly with one engine on fire or not? What if one engine catches fire or breaks down or there's an emergency in the air? Is he trained for it? Of course he's trained for it. How is he trained for it? How has the surgeon been trained to do surgery? They've been given examples and put in situations. They've been exposed to real life situations. They've been thrown out there. They've been given simulations.
So this is something we should do?
Yes, it should be part of our developmental curriculum.
Simulate being put in challenging
situations. Role playing, yeah. And that's how you teach conflict resolution. I want you to be a bully. How are you going to do this? Mm. It can be incorporated in an English lesson. It can be incorporated in a social science lesson. It can be incorporated at the kindergarten level. You be the bad guy, you be the good guy. You be the good response, you be the bad response. Mm. Everybody claps and you reinforce the proper response. The pilots learn to fly planes that are crashing every other week there in the simulation chamber. Mm. The medical student learns to cut from being a student very, very early on. Mm. How did you learn to cook? How did you learn to be a mother? Mm. It takes practice. But we come down to the basic problem. How well do you know your child? So sometimes it's a bit late when the teacher sends you a complaint letter or when an uncle or an auntie or a professional tells you this is wrong. So these are the kind of things that matter. This is the building of resilient kids. Mm. And in this case, resilient to issues like bullying behavior. Mm. So you can throw in conflict resolution, you can throw in anger management, but they'll all be part of the same thing.
Yeah, knowing your child and having those open lines of communication.
And deliberate parenting or deliberate training. Mm. Even in an organization, you can simulate bullying behavior occasionally.
Right. Yep.
And then let's see how we deal with it. So everyone becomes sensitive to this.
All right. A conversation for another day. I think this could go on.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Paul.
Sama.
I've been speaking to Paul Jambunathan, consultant clinical psychologist. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.